Father, we thank you once again, as we know that the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. And we pray that your words will be mixed with faith in our hearts, that we understand, the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance what you have said, and we know how to embrace these things, and also to know how to obtain the promises through contending for them on a daily basis. Help us, O Lord, in the room today as we discuss these things. Share your word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, well, let me get right to it. Like I said, the music thing is not working right this morning. I'll leave that one alone. But I do want to talk about obtaining, you know, embracing and obtaining these promises that God has given us. Over the last 1 week, we started last Saturday, I believe. I've been going through this prophetic repairs for 2025. I'm going to do some sort of a knowledge check today. And also, we're going to discuss application, embracing and obtaining. That's basically the application. How do we embrace the promises of God for our situation? I mean, when God gives promises, the promise may cover a lot of things. And we have to know how to embrace the promise for a particular situation in order to obtain that promise. And it's not a one day embracing. It's a moment by moment walking in that promise. You know, so we've often said that a promise is not a promise unless we know what was promised. So today we'll do a little bit of a knowledge check just to make sure we know what has been promised. And then we're going to discuss how do we apply these promises. I mean, we don't want to just come out here, we teach for weeks, we move on to another series or another subject, we teach for weeks, and yet our situations are not improved, you know, by these things that we are hearing. So, you know, before we move on to anything else, we want to make sure that these promises that we have heard for 2025, they are within reach. Within reach means, number one, we know the promise and we can embrace it for our situation. We're persuaded of what God has spoken. We can embrace it for our situation. We continue to declare them and make them work for us. You know, it got to be at the tip of your tongue. The scripture says, you know, this word of the Lord in Joshua, I talked to him in verses chapter 1. And the Lord spoke to him in verses 8 and 9. This word of the Lord will not depart, shall not depart from your mouth. You know, you have to have it at the tip of your tongue all the time. That should be until it becomes second nature to us almost. We are there. In fact, the Bible says that by these exceeding precious great promises that we have received, we might become partakers of the divine nature. So there is a way that these promises, you know, we live and walk in these promises in a way that they actually can become part of us and turn us into partakers of the divine nature. Divine nature is he speaks and it is done. He commands and it stands fast. And so you know, we need to get into that. And God's intention, that's part of the whole theme of this platform, the Walking with God theme, is, you know, for us to become like God. You know, that's it. You know, that was his beginning declaration right from the start. Create man in our image and after our likeness. You know, and also we are told, that's Genesis 1:26, we're also told in Romans 8:29 that his intention was for us to become like the Christ, for whom he did foreknow, them he also called and predestinated them, did predestine that they should be conformed to the image of the Christ. Hallelujah. So, you know, the goal is we must become partakers of that divine nature. And there are many promises that are given to us to help us get there. For instance, this scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, yeah, we're going to dissect that scripture for just a minute because it goes in line with what we want to do today. So turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and let's take a look at verse 4. Well, or we can start from verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now, you might say that over the last 1 week, God has given us some exceeding great and precious promises for 2025. Well, he goes on to say that by these, which means these promises, you might become partakers. You know, you might be partakers of the divine nature. So there is a way that we can apply and use these promises that can actually bring us into the divine nature. What does that mean? Well, let's talk about it. The promises of God, we're told, they are, first of all, yea and amen. His word is not maybe, perhaps, maybe sometimes yea and sometimes nay. That's not what he says. You know, we're told that the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yea and amen. Well, yea means it's true. Amen, meaning it will come to pass. So, the promises of God to us, and these promises, I'm going to do a review of these promises that we heard over the last 1 week in a bit, to make sure that everybody has these promises front and center. It said, make them like frontlets on your eyes. This word shall not depart from your mouth and even from your eyes. You speak of them when you sit down, you know, you talk of them, you write them on the doorpost of your house, etc. Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 tells us that these promises that we have been hearing over the last 1 week, they are yea and amen. Let me read to you from verse 18. But as God is true, this is 2 Corinthians 1:18. As God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. So they didn't preach a word that was sometimes yes and sometimes no. But he said, well, you know, what we preached in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him, he's talking about the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. You know, these promises work for us, through us, and by us. And so this is the, you know, that's what we want to make sure that we cover this morning. Hallelujah. Now, he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Praise the Lord. So we'll do a knowledge check, and we will discuss how do we apply the promises of God to our situations. There were many categories that God covered for us over the last few days. So number one question today is this. Before we even look at the specific promises, why do people often want to look to the Lord or hear? I know I want to do it. I mean, why do we want to hear from the Lord, you know, when we have a new year or a new start or a new something? You know, why? You know, why is it that, okay, 2025 starts, you know, and then we must hear a prophetic word or something from the Lord? Why? I mean, what's different about it? It's just the same as any other day, really. I mean, every day is the same. You know, why must we not hear from the Lord every day? You know, that's a good question. The question is, we really should hear from the Lord every day. But in our minds, the way our minds are wired, you know, people often think that a new year must bring something. In fact, people make new year resolutions and all these things. Whether they keep them or not, that's a different story. But, you know, people often do think about those things. Well, also, we who are in the ministry, we're always thinking of, you know, hey, what will the Lord speak? You know, that encourages people at the beginning of the year, you know, things like that. But it is really, you know, the Lord will speak to us every day, you know. But that being said, he did actually, you know, we spent time, you know, wanting to hear from the Lord, and the Lord will give us some word to speak to the people. Okay, he did actually do that. But now that he has spoken, what does it all mean? What do these things all mean that God has spoken to us? And why is it important for God to repair or fix some things in our lives? Now, over the last 2 years, not just for this year, but the last 2 years on this platform, we have received some exceeding great and precious promises, I might say. And the intent of these promises, we just read in 2 Peter 1 and 4, is that we might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, if we have the divine nature, we won't need to be, you know, running helter-skelter when something happens. You know, we will have the steadfast assurance that God is in us. And we can actually represent him fully. You know, we can speak his word. Jesus said that all the time. The words that I speak are not my own, but his that sent me. And so when we get to that point, we know his word. We can speak his word. And we know that it is done. Just like he said it, and it was done, we can say it, and it is done. I mean, many times Jesus would just say something and, you know, so walk away because he knows it's done. I mean, you know, there is no question about it in his mind once he says it. Let us pass over to the other side, he said. Then he went and slept because he already said it. Now, storm may be coming or not, but he already said what he said, and that's it. And he knows that they are going to get to the other side, which is why he was, you know, disappointed at their lack of faith and the fact that they allowed fear to come to them. Why is it that you are so fearful? How come it is you have no faith? You know, just because storms arose after the word was declared. Well, storms will arise after the word is declared. But what, how should we handle? Those are the things that we want to talk about today. You know, furthermore, you know, there are some other things that Jesus said and did. He just gave the instruction and then, you know, that's it. It's not trying to micromanage the thing all the time. He just leaves it alone. Put it in their hands. Told Peter one time, you know, go down to the lake, cast your net and so forth. The first fish that you catch, open it up, you'll find a coin in it and pay the tax for me and you. You know, and he said it and that's it. It's done. He just moved on. It's now left for Peter to carry it out. But the Lord already knows that if he carried it out, it will be exactly as he said. You know, one time he told a couple of disciples, he said, look, you go into this city and you go to a certain place like this, you will see a colt and an ass that's tied down and you begin to lose them and bring them to me. And if any man should ask you, you'll just say to them, the master had need of it, and straight away he will let you go. And it was exactly like he said. You know, he just said it and he moved on. And then it's left for the disciples to go carry it out. And they'll find out that it's exactly as he said. Another time, which we told that story a couple of times during this series, you know, was the one of the, you know, feeding the multitudes that Christ did. It was just, you know, a small boy's lunch that they put it, they gave to Jesus, upon which Jesus put a blessing, put it back in the hands of the disciples, and he walked away. It was done. He gave them instructions. Set the people in companies. That's it. And give them to eat. And he blessed the thing and put it back in their hands and just walked away. It's done with his part. Now, it's the rest is up to the disciples to feed the people. You know, and I've said it a couple of times during this series that it was actually the disciples that fed the multitude. It wasn't exactly Jesus. Jesus did the miracle of putting a blessing of increase upon the, you know, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But it was the disciples that actually fed the people. And Jesus did his part and walked away. Now, we've got to develop to the point where we can use these promises like the way you just used his word. He will speak the word and it's done. You know, it's not micromanaging the thing after he speaks it and, you know, checking, you know, whether it will come to pass. He knows it will come to pass. You know, because the zeal of the Lord of hosts will watch over it. The Lord will watch over his word to perform it. But most of the time, it's left to us to carry that thing out. Jesus gave a parable in Mark chapter 4. He spoke about the kingdom of God that is like a seed, I mean, that a man plants, you know. So, you know, he plants the seed in the ground, you know, he knows not how. He says, let me read it to you in Mark chapter 4 and verse 26 or so. You see, and the kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground and then should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. That word has the capacity in itself, because the Lord blessed the earth from the beginning. You know, he put a blessing on everything. He said, let the fruit tree, you know, having seed in itself, let it bring forth after its kind. And let all these things do after its kind. Put that word there once and for all. And that's it. It's done. You know, and the same way when you plant a seed in the ground, I mean, we don't go and dig it up every day and dig it up in the ground to see whether it's growing, you put the seed there. You know it's going to grow. Now, you might do a few things, which is what we want to talk about today. The few things and the growth helpers. What are the growth helpers when you plant the seed? Well, first of all, even before you plant the seed, you got to make sure you break up the fallow ground. I mean, when the planting season is there, let's say the ground has been parched and left alone for a long time, you can't just go and plant on the dry ground, the weed and everything. You got to break that up. You got to prepare the ground, which is basically preparing our hearts, you know, for the word of God. Now, the spoken word of God is the original seed. He spoke it in the beginning. Now, he spoke it, and now some people have written it down for us. And we hear it. We read it. We digest it. And we do the same. We repeat the same cycle. You know, we also use that word. So now, after the ground is prepared and you sow the seed, well, the growth helpers are as follows. You know, not for you to go dig up the seed that's in the ground, but, you know, you got to make sure the weeds don't encroach. Keep clearing the weeds, because when it rains, the same rain that will help the good seed will also help the weeds and the tares. Same rain, you know, and the grass will grow and try to choke that seed. So you got to continually prune that away. Give chance for the seed to grow. Don't let things choke it. If there's any thorns around it, get rid of them so it can grow. So you don't want that seed planted among thorns. You don't want that seed planted on stony ground either. You choose good ground. Pass it there. You know, put it there. But, and then you make sure it has some sunshine. And it has water. You water the thing, make sure it has sunshine. These are the helpers, growth helpers to that seed. But you don't go dig it up, you know, to see whether it's growing. It will grow because it's got the blessing within itself. It's a mandate that God put upon everything from the beginning. You know, let the fruit tree have seed within itself, bearing seed and bearing fruit. He said it, you know, from the beginning. And so it is. And now the same thing with the word of God. This word that we have heard over the last few days, how will it bear fruit? And how will it bear a seed for us? You know, so that's what we're going to discuss today. So I am going to ask a few questions as a knowledge check and make sure that we remember these things and how to use them. But let me read this verse to you in Genesis chapter 1. And God said in verse 11, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. It put this thing there from the beginning. And the earth brought forth grass and the herb yielding seed after its kind. And the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself. You know, now I want you to think about that. The seed is inside itself. The ability, you know, to reproduce, you know, was inside that thing. God put it there. The ability for the word of God to sustain itself is inside itself. Doesn't need, you know, anything else. All you need is know that it will say and do what it is sent to do. And then you begin to apply it for yourself. Now, these are basics of how to get the word of God to work for us. In the book of Isaiah 55, the Lord said this thing, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither. This is verse 10 of Isaiah 55. But watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Now, how shall it be? Well, when the rain comes down, it doesn't go back up. It does something. That's what he's saying. Well, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So, we've got to get to this same level. This is the divine nature right here. God knows his word. He understands it. He knows it. And he knows the attributes and the capacity that's inside our word. You know, it's got the capacity to sustain itself. You know, the seed, you know, is within itself. It's what he said in Genesis. The spoken word is also the original seed. It has a power within itself. So when God gives a promise, we take it as his word, and it's a seed, and it has the ability, the fruit within itself to produce the purpose for which it was spoken. Praise the Lord. Now, so that's it. And then what do we do with it? Well, we've got to apply it. How do we apply these things that the Lord has spoken to us over the last? So let's make this like a faith lab. Some of you have participated in our faith labs before, you know, where, you know, you've got to figure out what God said about this thing that we are trying to prove. That's what you do in a lab. Yeah. You got a hypothesis or something you want to prove, you know, and you're there. Or you got a formula. If you've already proven it, well, and you're going to use it again. You've proven it again and again. You know, a pharmaceutical lab, for instance, they start out with experiments, you know, of trying to create some drugs and so on and so forth. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. They throw it away. But once they figure it out and they patented that formula, they're going to use that precisely. It's now a science every time, and it will produce the same thing. So whereas the same laboratory at the beginning was experimental, was for experimental use, later on it becomes production use in the same lab. You know, after a while they turn it into production. You know, so, you know, experimental is when we are just learning and trying to figure out our ways around how to use the word of God to our benefit. You know, but once you figure it out, now you put it into production. It's no longer experiment. You now know it works. It worked last time. It will work this time. It will work every time. It's a science now. You know, science is precise. There's no guesswork to it. If you do it this way and do it that way, if you mix two portions of this, you mix two portions of hydrogen and one portion of oxygen, you're going to get water. So H2O, it's a precise thing. You do it this time, it will work. You do it next time, it will work. You do it. It's a precise thing. And so, in our faith lab, we say, look, let's be precise about the word of God. In this case, these repairs, promises that God has given for this year. Let's be precise. And let's see how we apply them, you know, in the lab. And then you know, walk away and see the results. Praise the Lord. So, now, knowledge check. Number one. What did the word repairs represent? Repairs. It turned out that it's a word, but when you spell it out letter by letter, it can be used as an acronym, which is what the theme for this lesson over the last 1 week has been. And it became an acronym because the Lord gave it like that. And so I want to see you put the answers in the chat room. That's the first question. So knowledge check number one. And you can see this green mark things around it, today's title. That's check. Make sure that, you know, we do the knowledge check and we remember and we know what the Lord said. Jesus used to say, you know, that the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance, you know, the things. And he said, lo, I have told you before. Well, told you, you have to remember it, you know. Otherwise, if you just remember that, he told me something, but I don't remember what it is. Well, that's not good. You know, you need to remember what it is he said. Holy Spirit, that's one of his roles, is to bring to our remembrance what God said. All right, so let me see what folks are posting here. What do the repairs in this lesson stand for, taken as an acronym? So we got the R, we got the E, we got the P, the A, the I, the R, and the S, as given in this lesson. Anybody? Okay. I see that some folks are posting. All right, Sister Julia, thank you for posting the scriptures. Sister Julia has posted a response. What is everybody else posting? You know, think of it this way. God said to Amos in Amos chapter 8 and verse 1, he saw a vision, and most of the time these prophets will participate in the vision. It's a living, breathing vision. They participate in it. So God showed him the vision. He was participating in it. He showed him a basket of summer fruit, and he asked him, what do you see? Well, you know, you might put it this way. There is a basket presented to us of these promises for 2025. They have, you know, certain letters in it. You can pick one fruit, on it is written R. You pick another one, on it is written E. You pick yet another, you have P. You pick one, it says A. You pick one, it says I. You pick one, it says R. You pick one, it says S. And it's all in the basket. Pick anyone you want, or take two or three, or take them all. You know, so let me see if we have any good students in the room. Praise the Lord. You know, I've often said that, you know, teaching is a collaborative experience. You know, there is the teacher and there is the student. So you may have a bad teacher that doesn't know how to communicate, you know, and they are not effective in their communication. And so whatever they're saying doesn't make any sense. And nobody understands what they're saying because it doesn't make any sense. It's not cohesive. It's not together. There's a lot of preaching and teaching like that. It's not cohesive. It's not together. It's all over the place. It doesn't make any sense. You know, that may be a bad teacher. Then on the side of the student, well, they could be a good student, a studious student that learns and studies and understands, or they could be a careless student that were not paying attention, even though the teacher may have done due diligence. If the student doesn't do due diligence, I mean, it's a collaborative effort, teaching and learning, you know, teaching, but are they learning? So that's why we occasionally do these knowledge checks, a knowledge check. You know, if you're in this class, you know, we do this. And you notice that sometimes I call these things lessons. I don't often call them messages. I wonder why I say that. I say, well, we're going to talk about today's lesson. Oh, that's the end of the lesson. I don't often say it's today's message or messages. They are messages, but I approach them more as lessons. But we're trying to communicate and teach, bring the word of God, put scriptures side by side, line upon line, precept upon precept, and it's left for us to learn. Okay, we have some good responses in the chat room, so thank you for that. I have got release, expansion, possession, acceleration, increase, recovery, and success. Very good. Now, somebody else said the the last R could be restoration and rest. Very good as well. Many things. The middle P could also be possession and something else. Also positioning. You might remember that. You know, so God has given us multiple promises here that by this we should become, these promises become partakers of the divine nature. How do we use these promises for 2025 to advance us in the direction of becoming more like God, divine nature? How do we do it? How do we, you know, use these promises to help us on a daily basis? You know, so I want examples of where we might face situation and a specific example. And you can give a testimony. Maybe you've already faced situation and you've already used it. Not necessarily since the lesson, but maybe in the past, even in your life, because, you know, these things are not necessarily new and you've known how to use these things. You can give us an example. Or now you're learning how to use the word of God for your situation. You can give us an example. But I want practical application of the word of the Lord. You know, so for instance, you know, one of the things, you know, that the Lord told us when we were in the hour was restore health unto you. How do you use the promises? And there were some scriptures given. How do you use those promises if your health is not where it should be at? There were also certain other things that were mentioned for restoration, recovery, and rest, for instance. What are some of the other things? How do you use them? I mean, God promised us liberty, promised double for your trouble. I'm giving you some hints. What else do you remember from the lesson of the restoration? We spent a lot of time on it, going through many things. And what about rest? I mean, how do you use these things for yourself? So this is what we're going to do today. So that's why I'm calling it a practical application. You know, so it is going to be, this is how we embrace the promises now to obtain, you know, to obtain the promise, we have to know the promise, be persuaded that God's able to do what he said, embrace the promise, and begin to speak it and use it, you know, for the situation at hand. You know, that's how we obtain. Now, some people in the past were not able to obtain or enter into the promise of God because, why? Scripture say it wasn't mixed with faith in their hearts. Well, for us then, well, let us make sure that it is mixed with faith in our hearts. We got to come boldly to the throne of grace. That's one thing that the scripture invites us to do. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Hebrews 4 and 16. You know, that we may obtain. You know, there's always this obtaining. That we obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now, here are some other places in the scripture where the Bible talks about obtaining. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 14, it says, whereby he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, obtaining means gaining possession of the thing. You know, so, you know, we got to gain possession. Many things that the Lord promised to us. Now, if a man strive for masteries, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 12, you know, like athletes and things like that, you know, they are temperate in all things. They go through training regimens and so on and so forth. They deny themselves of many things, you know, during training camp and training season, but they are doing it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are trying to obtain an incorruptible crown. Praise the Lord. So, you know, we can see that obtaining means, you know, acquiring, you know, something. You know, even we're told about Christ, when you are comparing Christ to the other high priests and so on, in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, it says, Christ has obtained a more excellent ministry. By how much is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Now, so, we're trying to establish the fact that the word obtain means gaining possession. So, embracing and obtaining these promises for 2025. Now, that's the part that I want to share with us today, and then we're going to throw it open for hopefully, what I hope will be active participation. You can take any one of these fruits, so to speak, that are in the basket and help us share your understandings. Also a knowledge check of how you can use it or have used it in a situation. You know, a practical situation. There are many things, let me just add this before I close my segment. There are many things God will restore for us, including, you know, God can even restore relationships. God can restore gladness and joy. God can restore and make sure we get deliverance from depression and hurt. These are some of the things we talked about. You know, God can restore, more importantly, He can bring salvation and righteousness. You know, God also said we will recover all. He gave David that inspiration that he's able to go after what was taken from him in 1 Samuel 30:8, and that he will recover all. So, you know, now I will yield the mic. And let's see if anybody wants to share with us practical applications of these promises. You all have done a good job already by telling us the first R was for release, the E was for expansion, the P was for possession and positioning, the A was for acceleration, the I was for increase. There's a lot of things about increase. The R is for restoration or recovery, and also for rest. And then the S is for success or successes. And, you know, what the Lord will bring us, have us experience throughout the year. So ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's the prelude to today's exercise. Now you know what we're trying to do here. So it's time for your participation. Good morning and welcome to the platform again. I'll say a quick prayer to close my section and then you all can give your contributions. Father, I thank you that we have again brought reminders for the word of God that you already told us. Hallelujah. You told us already. And so, we are reminding ourselves by the grace and help of the Holy Spirit, being reminded of what you already told us. Now, Lord, show us and speak through us how to apply these things practically in our lives. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory because we want to obtain. We don't want to just hear and do nothing about it. You know, the Bible says we don't want to be hearers and not doers of the word, because otherwise then we're just like someone that looks in the mirror, sees that there's something wrong with his face, but does nothing about it. So Lord, show us and teach us and speak through all the speakers how that we may practically apply these promises to situations that will arise for us. Because there's always something that will arise to bring contradiction or try to bring contradiction to the word of promise. Pray, Lord, for understanding as we go through this share session. Give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.